Mark chapter 4 from verse 26. He also said, "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces corn, first the stalk, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it, because the harvest has come." Again he said, "What shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest seed you plant in the ground. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds of the air can perch in its shade." With many similar parables, Jesus spoke the word to them, as much as they could understand. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. But when he was alone with his disciples, he explained everything.
Do you enjoy gardening? Are you a gardener? Is that something that you delight in, or is that something that is a chore that has to be done because you've got that large bit of grass that continually needs cutting and the weeds keep on growing than that which you might want to plant? It divides people in two, doesn't it? I'm one who enjoys gardening, and some of you, even as I mention that word, it makes you shiver and it makes you think, oh dear, oh no. Well, I just want to begin talking a little bit about gardening. Bear with me, please, if you don't like it. Over the years, I've planted many seeds. And you know what they come in? They come in these little packets, these some wildflower seeds, which you just scatter all over an area of your garden if you want some wildflowers to grow. It's probably another name for weeds, but never mind. And over the years, I've planted many such seeds. Read the instructions on the back. Followed them very well, dug the soil, put in the fertilizer, watered, put them in the right rows, put them at the right spacing between each other and between the rows. That's beans or parsnips, beetroots, carrots, all of that put in, and then you wait. You wait. And at times, it's really quite disappointing, isn't it? Nothing happens, not a bean, not a sausage, nothing at all. And I wondered, what was it? Was it the weather? Been too hot again? Been too dry? Been too wet? Or it's been the slugs? I don't know what it's like in this area, but there are certain areas where slugs seem to multiply at an enormous rate and they just eat everything in their path. You have to watch out for the slugs. Or is it the soil, the wrong pH? It's too acidic or too alkaline, whatever that means. And then a while back, I read this. Planting seeds that never grow is a perennial problem for millions of gardeners. This might give you hope, actually, mightn't it? But even experts like Alan Titchmarsh or Monty Don would have trouble cultivating green shoots from some seeds that are on the market. You see, Gardening Witch has done some research, and they have discovered that the standard of packet seed is so poor that in some cases the seeds are dead. Dead seeds were found in every packet tested. Delphiniums that are particularly difficult to grow, well, to grow them from seeds of the Pacific giants from a certain company. I probably shouldn't mention that company because that could be a bad thing to do. Would have been a miracle because in that particular packet of seeds, 99% of them were dead. Well, here is a big question for you this morning. How can you spot a dead seed? Very difficult. And the answer is, you can't spot a dead seed until you plant it and try and grow it. And that's very disappointing for anyone who wants to have a beautiful garden, or more importantly, wanting to grow their own food, something that isn't necessarily a high priority for most of us in the UK, but across the world is an incredibly important matter, growing your own food. Billions around the world are involved in that key task for each day. Well, this morning I want us to be reminded of seed that will always grow. No matter what the soil is, No matter what the vermin is, no matter what the weather is, this seed will always grow. Let's turn to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, please open your Bibles there. And we have a couple of parables from Jesus. And he is teaching his disciples, he's teaching his disciples about his kingdom. He's teaching his disciples about the kingdom where he will rule. So, verses 26 and 30, we have this phrase, "This is what the kingdom of God is like." That's the parable of the growing seed. And the parable of the mustard seed, again he said, "What shall we say the kingdom of God is like?" Now, what is this kingdom? What's this kingdom all about? What does it teach us? And how does it encourage us in the work of mission, in the local church, in your life, and across the world? Well, three characteristics of God's kingdom this morning to encourage us in the work of mission. And the first is that God's kingdom is here. God's kingdom is here. We're all citizens of the United Kingdom. It's a phrase we understand. It's a phrase we're able to grasp in a moment. The United Kingdom is a kingdom where the sovereign, the Queen, reigns and lives. Why it's not a queendom, we can discuss over tea and coffee later. But it's, of course, called a kingdom, isn't it? Not a United Queendom. And it consists of four countries, four and only four. No likely expansion, and I'm not going to go into whether there might be any reduction. That's, again, for you to talk about in a different matter over tea and coffee. But anyway, that's what we have at the moment. Four countries that make up this United Kingdom. And it has a history. You and I, if we have been taught in this country, will have been taught the history of the United Kingdom. There is a past. You can read about the different kings and queens that have reigned and ruled, the different parliaments that have come and gone and sat, those who have done good, those who have done bad, the good times, the bad times. It's all there. There is a history. And there is a present history as well. It is like this. We can describe it that at the moment there is a queen that is reigning, that is in Buckingham Palace, that has been there a long time. There is a prime minister. There is a history of the present. And of course, there will be a future, but we don't know about that, so we don't need to talk about it. He has a geography. There is a map that we can say, there is the United Kingdom. We can go up to the GBM map there that you've got in the corner on that wall, and you can say, there is the United Kingdom. You can put your finger on it. It has a character. There is a parliament. There is democracy. We have elections from time to time. It is all clear. And so if we know that about the United Kingdom, what does the Bible mean when it speaks of the kingdom of God's? There's the United Kingdom. Can we say the same about the kingdom of God's? Well, it is definitely where God rules. He is the sovereign. He is the king in this kingdom. But it is not a geographical area. We can't go up to that map and say, there's the United Kingdom and there's the kingdom of God's. It is not on one part of the planet, but it is actually in many places across the planet. And it is where God's reign is seen in people and not in countries. Over the past years, many extra workers have come to the United Kingdom from Eastern Europe. The UK is growing. We're often told about this, depending on the politics of the person who's talking, and they say this is either a positive thing or a negative thing. But the question I'm asking is, why are so many coming to the UK at the present? And the answer is because they have heard about the UK, that it is good. Want to be here. And now each of us, including those who have come to the UK, are citizens of the UK. And as part of the UK, living in the UK, say the UK is our home, we enjoy the privileges of being here. We want to be those citizens. But what about God's kingdom? What about God's kingdom? Is that a place where we want to be? Does God's kingdom have a future? Is God's kingdom of any use? Who discusses God's kingdom today? The United Kingdom gets big front page spread when someone says something negatively or positively, when all those political discussions are going on. God's kingdom doesn't even get a little line in the middle pages. Does anyone talk about it on the news? When all this other stuff is going on about the United Kingdom? This talk is going on about Scotland and its role and place in the United Kingdom. Does God's kingdom suddenly then get a mention? No, it doesn't. People are ignoring this kingdom. People have no interest in this kingdom. And we can sometimes as Christians be affected by that, you know. And we say, well, Lord, it's not very big, your kingdom, is it? It's not very strong. It's not very effective. It's not making much of an impact. Do you sometimes feel like that? I think we do. There are phrases that Christians use at times that can communicate that. Have you ever heard someone say, well, it's a day of small things? Or things seem to be getting worse. And let me tell you, if that is the case, then we've got to stop saying that because our perspective is wrong. It's selective. We're just looking at our own situation. It's subjective. We're just talking about our own time and point of view. It is not biblical. Look at verse 32. Look at what Jesus says. He talks about this mustard seed and he says, when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants. You see, the picture we have here is that here is this one tiny seed, and it then becomes the biggest plant in the field. This tells us that the biggest work going on in this world is that which Jesus is doing as he builds his kingdom, his rule in people's lives. And when Jesus speaks of the kingdom, he speaks of his people in all time and in all history, because he has promised to build his church. And his church is being built throughout planet Earth. And one day that will be all together, joining up those in heaven in that one glorious place of heaven. It is growing. God's kingdom is growing. We went to Serbia. And there in Serbia, church is being planted. 2 years ago, there was nothing. Now there is that group of people meeting Sunday by Sunday. And God's work is going on, for his kingdom is growing. Go to Bordeaux and the work that James Hammond, the GBM missionary, is doing there. And the church is growing. 4 years ago, there was nothing. And now it is growing. This pastor prayer letter received from him, we heard about Leah, who had come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as her Saviour. God's kingdom is growing. And the history of GBM, this week of prayer in the centre of the current Herald, tells you all about the work that began in India. 150 years ago, there was nothing. And some went out as missionaries to India. And at the beginning of this year, again, some went out to India, not to plant churches, but to go and teach in churches that have been formed and that have grown and are strong and are going off and planting more churches and sending workers into the northern parts of India that are dangerous and difficult. You see, God's kingdom is growing. God's kingdom. And we should not be surprised, because we see that with what Jesus says here. So first, the kingdom, God's kingdom, is here. Secondly, we said it already, God's kingdom is growing. Jesus tells us that it's growing like a mustard seed. Look at verse 31. It is like a mustard seed. What is Jesus meaning here? Well, this was a proverb. There was nothing smaller than a mustard seed. I think we in English, we kind of have the phrase that from out of small acorns grow mighty oaks. That's a similar phrase to what Jesus is saying of the mustard seed and the plant there. You see, we might speak of something very small. We talk about a grain of sand, wouldn't we? Well, they would talk about a mustard seed. There were many seeds, and here is the tiniest, the smallest of all the seeds, the mustard seed. It is very little. If you try and Plant some. Have a look out for how little it is. It is hardly of any significance. And yet, when it grows, wow, does it grow. 4 meters in breadth, what a sort of increase in size is that? From 1 millimeter to 4,000 millimeters, 400,000 in length, triplet in volume, 64,000%. Well, you took this glass of water, you would get very big, very wet, if you were happened to be sitting in it, because it would be enormous. This is the mustard seed principle of God's kingdom. This is what the kingdom of God is like. And you see that as you read the scriptures. Have you seen that? There were those small beginnings. There was that handful of disciples. There were 11. Because Judas, of course, betrayed the Saviour. And then you read on a little bit more. And there were the 120. Acts chapter 1. On the day of Pentecost. And God's Holy Spirit was poured out upon his people. And then, through that, there is growth and growth and growth. As you look on in the book of Acts, you have those mileposts. So you're told how many are there in God's kingdom, or at least in the church. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. 11, 120, 3,000. And on it goes, growing and growing and growing. Into a huge kingdom. One part of the GBM week of prayer has been focusing upon Southeast Asia and talking about those who are working in that particular region of the world. And the story of China is just so wonderful to illustrate this, of what God has done there. You see, it illustrates this biblical principle of the mustard seed to the huge plant. In the 1940s, the late 1940s, the missionaries who had gone there, who had laboured there, Hudson Taylor was the first who went there in the 19th century. He founded the China Inland Mission, and it is now OMF. And many, many Christians from across the world, not just the UK, but the States, went to China and were working there in China. And then the communists took power. The communists began to rule and reign. Totalitarian state throughout those who are doing the work of mission. What's going to happen? Well, now there are millions upon millions, hundreds of millions, depending on what statistic you read. You can never be quite sure, but we know the church is thriving. It's strong. We're thankful for that. God's kingdom is seen across the world. His citizens are placed across the earth. They're no longer in one small area. It all began in one small area. But now it is across the world. And these disciples here never imagined such an impact. But Jesus says this is what is going to occur. He speaks here of birds perching in it. Look at verse 32. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants. So you've got the tiny seed, and now you've got this huge garden plant. And you haven't just got this large garden plant, but you've got birds going into it. It grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants with such big branches that the birds of the air can perch in its shades. What's this about? Well, of course, it helps us very visually to see the size of this plant. You know, when birds go in there and they are perching in its shade, they're obviously hidden. They're out of the hot sun. But also there is an Old Testament reference, Old Testament link. Ezekiel 17 verse 23 says, "On the mountain heights of Israel I will plant it. It will produce branches and bear fruit and become a splendid cedar. Birds of every kind will nest in it. They will find shelter in the shade of its branches." Birds of every kind, that is a picture. That is an illustration of the nations. These birds are a picture of people from other nations across the world. They come and find shelter and safety in this huge shrub. And here's the surprise. The kingdom of God is neither limited to a geographical area, nor is it limited to a nation or a national group of people. This was a shock for the disciples. It took them some time to understand that, but we need to understand that very clearly now. It will include Jew and Gentile. Both will come into this kingdom. It is going to be international, which is what we see now. God's kingdom crosses borders. You see, there we have that picture of Serbia. And there is the border of Serbia. But as we were saying earlier, it used to be Yugoslavia. The borders were different. God's kingdom isn't stopped by a border. The good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ goes across borders for all. The nations are to receive the gospel. And there is a great need across the world. So we prayed in the GBM week of prayer, praying for Asia, the continent of Asia. Billions live on the continent of Asia. God's church is growing. His kingdom is growing. But there is so much more. India and China, the church is growing. But there are so many who are outside Christ. Well, here is his plan and his purpose. Here it is in Scripture. Here it is for us to read again and again and to be encouraged. Do you feel small? Do you feel alone? Do you head off to school, university, workplace, neighborhood, family, tomorrow? You think being a Christian is weak? Do you look at the few who follow Jesus and say, that's not much? Well, here is this great encouragement. This is what the kingdom of God is like. It is vast. It is beyond number. And this kingdom will have an effect way beyond what it seems. When you look at the Christian belief in seed form and compare it to the logic and philosophy of mankind, it seems so small and insignificant, doesn't it? There at university, the Bible is made fun of as compared to conventional human wisdom. Wise people rubbish Christian belief, a belief for the simple and uneducated, whose brains can only handle a small seed of thought. Again and again, we hear that kind of comment, as we're going to mention tonight, as we look at God's word again. Ted Turner, the founder of CNN, has said that Christianity is a crutch for losers and bozos. Losers, we understand that. Bozos are those who can't think very well. However, here we see the word of God and the gospel is like a mustard seed. Think of those humble beginnings. Where did it all start? Well, there was that little baby in a manger. A little mustard seed. There was a man in one location on planet Earth, mainly around a little lake called Galilee. There he did teach for 3 years and did some miracles. It was a little mustard seed. And here is that same man from the manger into that area who is now nailed to a cross by Roman soldiers, executed. A little mustard seed. Oh yes, he did rise from the dead. You see, there's power in the mustard seed. He trained just 12 men, unlearned, and those 12 unlearned men turn the world upside down. You are here today because of that. You are here today because of that. This is what Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. It just says this again, and God's word keeps on reminding us of this. Verse 23, we preach Christ crucified, the man nailed to the cross. A stumbling block to Jews. Yes, we see that today. Foolishness to Gentiles. We see that today. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. God's kingdom is here. God's kingdom is growing. And thirdly, God's kingdom impacts the world. God's kingdom impacts the world. How does this kingdom grow? There are two things we see here. It is the work of mission for you and I as Christians to be involved. You turn back a page, you'll see that this particular chapter begins with the first parable, which is the parable of the sower. And we see that the seed there is the word of God. And there is a call to sow the good news, to spread it, to scatter it, to talk of Jesus. And we do that in many ways, and do it in personal witness, in church activity. And as we do that, what will happen? God will work. It's the mustard seed principle, seed to tree. And there is the challenge and witness, the challenge to just keep on going, because God will surprise us in many ways. I love the story of the little lad. Well, he was a young man, teenager, who one snowy Sunday was unable to get to his church. And on the way, because of the snow, he stopped at a little insignificant chapel. And the storm was so severe that the preacher couldn't make it either. And so a layman, who was not a preacher and had never preached before, he was used to just opening the chapel. And he stood up and he spoke. And he spoke on just one verse from Isaiah, which said this: "Look unto me and be saved, all the ends of the earth." And after 5 minutes, he'd kind of finished everything he wanted to say. So he just said it again and kept on saying it. And that day, that young man who couldn't get to the usual place that he would go to, who'd come in because of the snow, came to know Jesus Christ. Faith was planted in his heart. And that young man's name was Charles Haddon Spurgeon, who won thousands to Christ and built a 5,000-seat auditorium as a preacher and still couldn't fit all the people in. A whole lot, you see, can come from that little mustard seed. What God does. A man scatters, verse 26, scatters the seed. Verse 32, yet when planted, what is this seed? Well, this seed is the word of God. That's what Jesus is saying. That's what it tells us in verse 14. Underline that in your Bibles. Don't think these are just little stories for us. They have spiritual meaning. And Jesus tells us that. The farmer sows the word, and the word is the seed, is the word is the seed. That encourages us. That encourages us. You see, as a church, in all the activities you have, and obviously I'm a visitor, so I don't know all the activities that you have on. Perhaps you're reaching children week by week, and you are planting seeds in the hearts of them. Who knows? Well, the Lord knows what they might become in serving the Lord. But we long first they come to know him. Perhaps you have an outreach to older people that they might be saved. Or you're reaching out into the community in some way that they might be saved. You see, we believe that seed will eventually lead them to the knowledge of sin and the Saviour and salvation. We're called to that. And if we have that mustard seed in our mind, then we are encouraged. And then there's a challenge in faith. In this parable, there is an effect to be seen. Where do we begin? We began with seeds that didn't grow. That is not normal. Seeds are supposed to grow. That is normal. If nothing happens, that's abnormal. And Jesus uses this illustration to show us that the seed of the gospel will bear fruit and will grow. The normal is growth. The normal is seed to tree, sown to harvest. Every time Jesus wants us to see this effect, to see this growth. But for a while you don't see it. That's the thing about planting seeds. If you're a gardener, you understand that. The farmer plants one day, and the next day it looks just the same. There's no change. But what's going on underneath? That is where there is change. He sleeps, verse 27. He rises night and day, And the work goes on. It's God's work, you see. The seed sprouts and grows, he knows not how. There are two truths there. It grows and God is in it. And then, verse 29, the harvest has come. Can I, as I finish, challenge you and myself in our expectation? Do you expect that growth in gospel work? Now, if I don't expect anyone to become a Christian, that is actually going to affect my witness. If I don't expect anyone to become a Christian, I'm not going to witness to them. I'm not really going to bother about serving, not bother about getting involved. I'm going to do that much less. But if I expect God to work, if I take this parable to heart, mustard seed to tree, I will have an expectation that God, not me, but God is going to work as I serve him and witness to him. And so I will work as hard as I can and serve him with all my energy and look out for opportunities to share, knowing that it's not me, but it's him. I'm just that servant. And therefore I expect him, when he has said, the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed, that I will see that growth. I will also know it might take time, because I'm like the farmer. He does not know how. He does not know all of this. I don't, but God does, and I serve him. So the mustard seed principle means I will expect that growth. God's kingdom is here. God's kingdom is growing, and God's kingdom is impacting the world. I was watching a program entitled The Seven Wonders of the Industrial World, and they were talking about the building of the Panama Canal, which had a lot of starts and then stops three times. It was first sunk by lack of vision. They started digging and said, no, we can't do it, and they stopped. And then there were floods. I scratched my head and I didn't quite work out how it was that floods could stop you building a canal, but it actually washed away all that they had done in the digging. And then there was yellow fever, which struck the workforce. They had to go through all of this, but finally it was built. It took billions of dollars, thousands of lives, and many years. Well, let me tell you, God's kingdom is being built. God is building it. The vision is total. We see it here in God's words. He is doing it, and he will do it, because he has promised. People might look and laugh at the church, small and insignificant, and will laugh at you and me, because we believe Jesus is the only Saviour, and we believe in the Bible. But Jesus doesn't. But Jesus came into this world to build. And the mustard seed tells us that Jesus' kingdom will grow and impact all nations. So I'm going to commit myself to the work of his kingdom. What about you?